Welcome back to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Ken's 5 San Antonio. Glad to have you back. Hey, it is the offseason, and although, yeah, it's going to be a very long time until we get some Spurs basketball back on that court. One of the good things about the offseason is that we're going to have some fun, dive into different topics that we don't get to get into during the regular season, and we're going to do exactly that today. There's a lot of Spurs fans that enjoy basketball cards, whether it be the cards they grew up with, you know, picking them up at the convenience store, put them in their sleeves and their binders, till today, where now it's become a very, very lucrative thing to do if you do it right. We're going to be talking about all things basketball cards on this episode of Locked On Spurs, but specifically San Antonio Spurs cards. What should you be looking for? Are there any hidden gems? We have a guest who is all about that arena, basketball cards. He is a longtime Spurs fan and a big card collector, and he puts on an event in San Antonio twice a month where you can go and exchange, trade, buy new basketball cards, and he'll tell you all about that in just a minute. He's going to welcome Josh Cook. Josh, welcome to Locked On Spurs.
Hey, Jeff. Glad to be here. Glad to be talking about my passion, collecting cards of all kinds. And, of course, you know, living in San Antonio and calling San Antonio home, home of the 210, home of the world champion San Antonio Spurs.
Right, man.
Go Spurs, go.
Truth be told, everybody, I go to Josh every time I have basketball card questions. You know, I'm like maybe grade school level. He is like master 10th degree black belt in this arena. He knows his stuff. Josh, again, we appreciate your time. You know, it is kind of one of those things where when you get talking on social media about basketball cards, a lot of fans kind of jump in. They start talking about it. There's an interest in this arena, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a huge, huge collector market, and it's gotten a lot bigger over the last few years. The hobby itself, you know, I got in back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And it waxes and wanes, you know, with any, you know, kind of hobby. But we've seen pick up over the last 3 to 4 years, I would say, and the market's booming. A lot of collectors. I see a lot of young kids out there as well that, you know, their parents take them out to the card shows. It's great to see the kids out there bringing up a whole new generation of collectors.
Now, before I forget, make sure to follow Josh on Twitter at Joshua R. Cook. If you have a basketball card collection, that would be about the Spurs just in general. Well, if you have a collection that maybe you might think is worth something, or you may want to wheel and deal with him, again, on Twitter at Joshua R. Cook. Now, let's go to dive into this. You kind of touched on it a little bit. How did you get into cards? You know, was that something that you discovered late in life, or was kind of one of the things like you started doing as a kid and you just never left it?
Yeah, I remember, you know, as a kid back in the 80s, my brother and I, shout out Chris Cook, chef extraordinaire here in San Antonio, used to run around and collect cards. We used to go down to the local convenience store and pick up a pack of cards back in the 80s. And, you know, our collections grew and we got excited about various players and have all sorts of fun. In fact, he was the first card collection that I bought him out. Mm-hmm. Jeff, and you know, he had some treasures in there that you know, I eventually sent off to grading, and you know, they're worth some decent cash. I always looked at the hobby as a, you know, a collector first, and then, you know, an investor, mm-hmm. and a dealer now, so that I can share cards and experience the hobby with other folks.
This makes this very clear, everybody. Josh is not just some guy, you know, a fan who has a bunch of cards. You know, he knows his stuff. He knows what he's talking about. And he'll definitely talk about his event, the card showcase event that he puts on twice a month in San Antonio. I'm still looking forward to going for my first time. I'm eager to go and meet you, Josh, and see what you got on that table. Let's go and dive further into this now. So, you know, when Spurs fans look at the basketball cards, you know, they got their stash at home probably, you know, but what should Spurs fans be looking for in cards? Is it just simply, oh, I got this card and we're done? I think it's beyond just that, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. Jeff, just real quick on the monthly events, Those aren't my events, just for clarity purposes. Those are run by a group, San Antonio Collectors Expo. So I don't want to mislead your audience of thinking that I'm running it. I'm not.
Hey, well, we got to get people over there to go visit your booth, though. So
oh, yeah.
We got to get everybody there, yeah. But hold that thought. We'll definitely be breaking down the details of how fans could go and meet you at your booth at the convention. But yeah, again, you know, it's not just simply, I'm making this up, David Robinson's rookie card. I'm done. I'm finished, right? It's more than that, isn't it? What's your Spurs fans be looking for in cards?
Yeah, so that's the beauty of collecting, right? It's not just player, but the player has, you know, tons of cards that you can collect. It's really pieces of art that you're collecting. If you look at some of the designs, some of the graphics, some of the photography that's involved, I mean, they're beautiful pieces of art in many cases. And many of them are also serial numbered. So it's not, you know, mass produced. You know, these are, you know, serial numbered to, you know, 5, 10, you know, 50 or 100. So you really feel like you've got something special that really nobody else has. And then, you know, you can go player, you can go team, various years, even throwbacks. So there's a ton to collect out there. And it's just, you know, it's your personal passion of what you'd like to see. And so you can take it in a number of different directions. It's really a lifelong kind of hobby that you can pick up.
You know, one of the things that I always think about when people talk to me about cards on social media is like kind of the basics, you know. Well, yeah, you can have a Robinson rookie card, but, you know, is it chewed up by the pet? Is it been stepped on a few times? Is it frayed? You know, when we'll talk about this in a few minutes, but, you know, how mint does a card need to be for it to really have a good value? Is that kind of a starting point?
Kind of. It depends on first, you know, the age of the card. You know, the stuff that's being produced, you know, these days or even the last like 10 years or so should be in really good condition to be sent in for grading and get a high grade and to be worth something. Of course, you want, you know, pristine corners and edges and surface and good centering with the photography that's on there. As the cards get older, it's a little bit more difficult to have something in a pristine condition. You know, they get tossed in a drawer, they're not handled properly, or, you know, kids get a hold of them or pets. There's fewer, and which makes them more valuable, of cards that are older that are in that, that gem mint condition that we all strive for as collectors.
You know, there's probably Spurs fans listening right now, and like, they're probably chomping at the bit. You know, is this lucrative? You know, how lucrative can this be? You know, how important is grading? Can you talk about that? How key is getting cards graded that you feel, you know, or, you know, an owner, you know, feels that it's worthy enough to go that extra step? And how lucrative can this be? How lucrative can collecting basketball cards or just cards in general be? So you can talk about grading and lucrativeness in this arena.
Sure. Grading, you know, it's personal opinion of, you know, what should go out to grading. Now, I look at it from a collector standpoint, and I think, wow, I really love this card. I really love this player. Tim Duncan rookies, for example. You know, I'd love to have those in my personal collection because he's an awesome player, and you know, it's a lifelong love for the San Antonio Spurs. So I'm gonna find some that are, you know, decent value, and I'm gonna send them off. And because they are mine, and I've collected them myself, I probably pulled them from a pack. I care about those, and getting them graded is more of a treating it as like a historical artifact, and that's my personal collection, that it won't go anywhere else. And so I don't mind spending money on grading. And, you know, if it doesn't come back a gem mint 10, then that's okay. It's still mine, and that's all right. You know, of course, you want the higher grades, but that's okay. If I'm looking at it from you know, an investor standpoint, then yeah, I want the higher grade. I want the low serial number, the low population count of the card, so that it's you know, it's going to rise in value over the years. If I'm looking at it from a dealer standpoint, I've got to cover grading fees and I've got to cover the cost of the card. And so I want to look at it from a, hey, what's my return on investment? And if I can do 3x or 5x on a card or even more, then yeah, I'm sending those cards into grading immediately. And, you know, they'll show up at my booth and you can come buy them. That's the lucrativeness of it. You know, if you get your hands on some cards, or you you do some analysis and you think that a player is on the rise and you want to make a strategic investment, then you know, you go out and you get you buy the raw cards. You make sure they look good. You send them off to grading, and what was a $100 or $200 investment suddenly becomes, when it comes back from grading, a card worth $1,000 or $2,000. So there's a 10x or more involved in it if you know what you're doing. You know, some of crapshoots, though. You know, you think that a rookie is going to be hot, and they turn out to not be. All of a sudden, you've got too many cards that you're sitting on, and not worth a whole lot of money.
You're saying some terms here, and we're going to pretend like the audience has no idea about this this area. You're talking about 10 mint on car, stuff like that. What are some of the key phrases that Spurs fans, Lockdown Spurs listeners, should be keen on if they're going through their Spurs basketball card collection and thinking about grading? You know, what are the buzzwords that you want to hear back?
Yeah. Chances are you've got a bunch of what's called raw cards. That means they're not graded. They're in your shoebox or your binder or something like that. You want to pay close attention to the condition of those, and centering is key on them. The edge wear, the corner wear, to make sure that the cards are in good condition. And then if you send them off to grading, you're looking at a grading scale of literally like authentic or a one, poor condition, to a 10, gem mint. Like, that thing is essentially flawless. You know, the centering great on it, the corners are great on it, the edges are great on it, everything's is beautiful. And that's the way it'll come back as a 10, hopefully.
How rare is it to when you send it off to grading to get it back a 10? Is that pretty rare to get that type of results?
No, I wouldn't say it's rare. I mean, you have to, you know what you're doing and pick the right cards to begin with. And some of it is subjective, right? There's humans in the loop. There's talks about, you know, enhancing the automation or inclusion of things like artificial intelligence to enhance the grading process. But there's humans in the loop. So, you know, what you think and what you've, you know, looked at with a magnifying glass and overhead lights to think is a great card in great condition, somebody else may not think that. And so, it comes back a 9 instead of a 10, for example. Or you miss something and you think that, you know, everything's good, but, you know, there was a print line on the card that you didn't see, or, you know, some sort of surface blemish or dimple or something like that.
Is it kind of standard? Let's just say you get it back and maybe they, you know, we're going to just give like a wild example here. Like, clearly it's a graded 9 or a 10, but for some reason it comes back like a 5 or a 4. Are you allowed to return it, so to speak, and get it reevaluated?
Yeah, there's a process for that. It's not easy.
Okay.
You know, most folks will say, yeah, you know what, maybe I missed something. You can examine your card. And if you really feel like, hey, you know what, whoever was grading, you know, did a bum job, there's recourse. You can, within a time frame, you can, you know, file a form with the grading company and say, hey, we think we got this one wrong. And, you know, you'll have to send it back in and go through the process again.
We're talking with Joshua Cook right here on Locked On Spurs. He is our go-to guy when it comes to all things Spurs basketball cards in general, or just sports cards as well. But before we continue, I want to talk to you about sunglasses, not just any sunglasses, Shady Rays sunglasses. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of $200 sunglasses for a fraction of the price. That means polarized lenses, well-constructed durable frames, and premium high-end finishes. Also, something you don't find anywhere else is Shady Rays' insane protection program. Shady Rays includes lost and broken protection on every pair. They will send you a brand new pair if you lose them, no matter what happened. I urge you to give them a try, and if you don't love them, you'll pay nothing. Simple as that. And they go the extra mile. 10 meals are donated to fight hunger in America when you shop with Shady Rays. Yeah, they really go above and beyond. Exclusively for our listeners, head to ShadyRays.com. Use code LOCKEDON to get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That's code LOCKEDON for their best deal of the season. 50% off two or more pairs of Shady Ray sunglasses. And by the way, it's backed by over 150,000 verified five-star reviews. We're back with Josh Cook right here on this episode of Locked On Spurs. And he is, is it okay to call you a guru in this arena, this basketball card arena?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. He is our go-to guy. He is my go-to guy whenever I do have questions. And Josh is really good about responding to you. Make sure to give him a follow if you have basketball card questions at Joshua R. Cook on Twitter. Let's continue our talk and start diving into more Spurs-focused cards here now. Do you own any Spurs cards that are worth a lot? And which players are those?
You gotta have some of the Spurs players in your personal collection. Yeah, I've got plenty of Duncans. You know, he's the greatest. He's the man, the GOAT. I've got plenty of Manu, and as he's joined the hall, we've seen some rises in some of his prices for some of his rookie cards. You got Tony, he's going into the hall next year, first time guy as well. And so, you got to have plenty for the local fans that are going to be wanting those cards. Definitely have the big three there. In fact, I picked up a patch card of, a patch is called that because they've got jerseys or uniforms of the player. Game-worn artifacts on a card that's coming to me this week that's got all three, Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker. So that's going to be cool. I think it's serial numbered out of four or something like that. But yeah, definitely have to have plenty of Spurs in the personal collection. As far as higher price ones, I think I've got some cards that are probably worth $500-$600 for Spurs players. Yeah.
And those are the big three players that usually are in that upper level of price.
Yeah, rookie cards are high end. There's a variety of different types of cards and brands of cards, and some of the higher end brands, especially if they're low serial numbered, so there's not issued a whole bunch of them. And they have things like autographs, or they have things like jerseys incorporated into the card. Then those are going to be worth more money.
Looking further back, Robinson's. Gervin's. I mean, I don't know how far basketball cards, NBA basketball cards go, but what about old timey cards like that? Your Sean Elliott's, your David Robinson, Hall of Famer, quad double guy, Iceman, legend. Are those older cards worth anything? I know I watched a documentary about the basketball card award, and supposedly, like in the Robinson era, the early 90s, that was kind of a bad period of basketball cards. Is that true?
But, generally speaking, if you want to go collect, then you want to, go for Hall of Famers, go for rookie Hall of Famers, or rookie cards of Hall of Famers, great condition cards, and ideally cards that have been graded. So, I mean, that's kind of a general rule of thumb. And and that spans, current day to, more vintage cards. So you can absolutely go and you can get out there and you can collect some, you know, some Iceman autographs. They're floating around out there. They're pretty cool. As well as, you know,
some I see what you did there, Josh. Players. Pretty cool, Iceman. Pretty cool. I get that.
Iceberg Slim, but, man. I think that's my favorite nickname for the Iceman. Iceberg.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. But I'm pretty sure, you know, there's, you know, a lot of Spurs fans out there that have a collection and they probably forgot about it. They know where it is, but they just forgot what's in it. And they're probably sitting on something there. You're talking about earlier on the show about how now you really want to be mindful about the cards you're getting, you know, whether it be a Zion, whether it be, you know, who knows, you know, Banchero that's coming in. And, you know, you mentioned Monta Ginobili. You've seen a spike in his value going into the Hall of Fame. Tony Parker is another one. Are there any, you know, Spurs player cards that are on the roster right now? You know, your Devin Vassells, your Primos, Keldon, DeJounte, Jakob. You know, are there – what current player cards would you say Spurs fans should get and why?
All of them. And did you mention somebody named Zion? Zion who?
Yeah, when was the last time he played?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with this guy.
By the way, quick aside, has his card plummeted?
Yeah, saw he was the hot rookie, you know, must have, and the population count. So when you send off to grading, it gets tracked, right, and it becomes mm-hmm. known as the population count of that card. His population counts were through the roof. Like everybody and their mother was sending cards off of Zion. And then, you know, he started, you know, not playing, getting hurt, whatever. And, you know, I hope he feels better. We saw the prices cause he wasn't playing. Mm-hmm. You know, his prices were going down. And then on top of that, the population count was through the roof. So everybody had one. So it really hurt his hobby. I mean, for the higher end cards, you know, they're still worth a lot of money. I mean, don't get mm-hmm. me wrong. But the run of the mill, you know, card that, you know, anybody can pick up had dropped significantly. Mm-hmm. I mean, we still see that, like records being broken.
Right. Yeah, I know. I
end mean, over end.
I love it when you tag me on things to show me like, look at this. You know, I'm like, whoa, I mean, this is out of control. I think I even asked you a couple months back about the highest ever sold Tim Duncan rookie card. You know, it broke a record for Tim Duncan cards. And yeah, like how you explained it to me, you know, like, well, because I think it was a metallic. I think that's what it was. It was a green metallic one.
Precious metal gems. I mean, that's
precious metal one. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. So like 1997, it's Duncan's rookie. It's precious metal gem, which is a highly sought after card to begin with. And then there's only 10 of them. And it's a beautiful, like, you know, it's a piece of art. Mm-hmm. So there's only 10 in the world, and I think that was graded like an 8.5 or something like that, 8.5.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it ended up going for like a few $100,000. It was amazing.
But circling back to the current crop of Spurs fans the Spurs players, excuse me, on the roster right now, you said get them all right now, you know, whether that had been a Jakob or Vassell or Primo or Trey Jones. You know, why did you give that answer? Why would you urge Spurs fans that are looking getting into the basketball card business or hobby, and they obviously want to get their Spurs, you know, like why say all of them?
Yeah, it's what we all know as San Antonio Spurs fans. But the rest of the NBA and the collector community hadn't quite caught on yet. We're the hidden gem. We've got a solid program under Coach Pop that is known for developing talent, and we're in a small market, and that works to our advantage. So you get young talent like Josh Primo, young kid, right? 18, 19 years old now, got a long future, you know, a great career ahead of him. So you get in from the ground floor. And you watch him develop. It'll take a little bit. I mean, this is the investment side of the business. But you get his rookie cards right now. Mm-hmm. You get Devin Vassell, and those cards are still fairly cheap. I mean, you can get, you know, autographs and jersey cards for a couple hundred bucks. that's, you know, cheap, relatively speaking. I know not everybody considers that cheap. And, you know, there's certainly cards that are, you know, a lot more affordable than those of those players. But they'll, over time, you know, they'll rise because, the you know, as the program rebuilds and you've got all this young talent and they start to gel, you'll see the market catch on. We saw something similar with Keldon, you know, a couple years back when he was first on the scene. Everybody knew that he's going to be a talent. He's a generational type player. So he, a bunch of investment went into him, and we're still seeing that market, a lot of upside to that market, as well as a bunch of other Spurs players. So it's great to be a Spurs fan, and it's great to be collecting Spurs cards.
Yeah, exactly. We're here with Josh Cook, and he's talking to us everything about Spurs basketball cards in general, and just the hobby as well. Before we continue, I want to talk to you about Built Bar. Built Bar will put you back on that New Year's resolution. You know, the one you said, you know, you're going to get in shape. Well, Built Bar will help you accomplish that goal. It almost feels like you're not really eating a healthy bar because it tastes like candy, but they are so good for you. Look, they got a new puff. It's basically just protein-infused marshmallow, and they come in different flavors, a churro flavor, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie. They're very, very good. They're going to be your delicious next favorite flavor when you go to Built.com. And by the way, they're covered in 100% chocolate. They're just like a treat. All Built bars, like I said, are covered in 100% chocolate, even the puffs. Yes, 100% real chocolate. Low calorie, high protein. Replace your candy bars with these. They're better. Typical candy bar can be anywhere between 200 to 300 calories. You don't want that in your system. Go to built.com right now. Scroll down to the macros chart. You'll be blown away. High protein, low cal, high fiber, low carb. Just for example, most Built bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. That's right. And they taste delicious. Trust me, I know. I go through boxes of them almost monthly. Mint brownie, coconut almond, and new for this month, white chocolate cookies and cream. They are all delicious. New flavors are coming out all the time. You will find your favorite when you go to Built.com, and they're good for you. At Built Bar, they are all about the taste. They make it taste delicious first, then figure out how to make it healthy. And yeah, they pull it off every time. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCK15. Get 50% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. We are back with Josh Cook right here on this episode of Locked On Spurs, where we're talking everything about Spurs basketball cards, which players you should be focusing on. He says all of them. So start getting out to the hobby store, the convention that he's going to talk about in a few minutes, and pick up your next Spurs basketball card. And maybe it is that rare find that you'll find at his booth. And yeah, Josh knows everything when it comes to basketball cards. Let's go to start wrapping this up. We're hitting up against the clock here, Josh. You know, I want to talk to you a little bit more just again, Spurs focused cards. Are San Antonio Spurs cards historically some of the more valuable cards? Can you hear about the Jordan and the Bulls and the Lakers and all this stuff? Where do Spurs cards usually value? What do they rank among, you know, cards that are must-gets?
You know, Jordan, you know, he's the GOAT, right? So he's always going to be, you know, have a strong market. You know, you got Duncan and Robinson mainstays in the card market. You can always find those cards, and they're always going to be valuable. And you know, with the Hall and you know, the increased emphasis on what Manu and Tony have brought to not only San Antonio but to the NBA writ large, I think they're getting more recognition of their talent. I mean, certainly with the World Championships that the city has won, they were in the limelight. Their hobby market is strong, and it's getting stronger. So, I mean, they're competitive across, you know, if you look at franchises, you know, we've got a lot of strong players that that resonates inside the card collecting community. So I think we're in a good position across the board.
I got to ask you this question. This is probably where a lot of Spurs fans are going to like hang up on us, but I got to ask, Kawhi Leonard Spurs cards, are they valuable?
Burn them on sight. That's an open invitation.
Even a Kawhi Leonard rookie Spurs card, would you burn that on site?
No, I wouldn't touch it. No, that's just me being a pure San Antonio fan right there.
Right.
I don't have any Kawhi cards. Not interested in them. In fact, I don't even see those things really floating around the local card market here.
Oh wow.
That's just bad juju be right
but,
there.
But let's just remove your Spurs fan cap right now and just put back on the Josh Cook business card man hat on. Is a Spurs Kawhi Leonard rookie card something sought after by collectors? Or is it because his history with health recently is his card is declining?
You're absolutely right. I mean, his cards have declined. They were, you know, fairly valuable. But he's not playing.
Yeah.
And, it's for this reason, that reason. If you're not playing, you're not getting minutes, then, you know, the hobby kind of loses sight of you.
Okay, I can imagine. Just off the top of your head, and this is probably, you know, an obvious answer, but do you know which is the all-time most valuable Spurs card ever to own? Is it a Robinson? Is it a Duncan? Is it going to be maybe Manu when he goes into the Hall? You know, which is the all-time most valuable Spurs basketball card?
Good question. I think that it's probably going to be that Duncan Precious Metal Gems. That's got to be up there for a while. It pulled in, I think it was like $250,000.
Yeah, that was crazy. I wrote about it at Ken's 5, Josh. And get this, I had the news producer email me, basically my boss, wanting more information because they actually ran a story about it on the news.
Fantastic. Getting the word out. I mean, that's a valuable card. They have Logo Man, where it's the NBA logo associated with a card and an autograph usually of a player. And I think those will probably rival it. But I think between those two, either Precious Metal Gems or something like a Flawless or National Treasure Logo Man, with an auto of like Duncan, I think that would be, you know, pretty competitive.
Wow. So yeah. So
that's the caliber we're talking about.
Start digging through your collection, Spurs fans. You might be sitting on something very, very, very rare and valuable. And who knows, maybe Josh can help you out there. Before I turn the mic over to you, you tell us all about the convention where you have your booth and everything. For a minute there, Josh, I thought you were going to tell me the most valuable Spurs car ever was a rookie Luka Samanich, right? That was going to be it.
No. I've got a rookie Luka that's like numbered to 5. I mean, there's only like 5 in existence, and he was still kind of up and coming up in the system. And I was like, man, this thing might be worth something. And then get traded and all that.
He's out of the league now.
It's not moving anywhere.
Yeah, you can't imagine. Tell us about the convention for the folks in San Antonio that want to go meet you, that want to talk basketball cards with you, maybe buy something off your booth. Tell us all the details that we need to know.
Well, first and foremost, it's family friendly. Anything in the hobby, these events that I'm about to mention, they're all family friendly. So bring the kids out. I have, I got a couple of young daughters and I get them involved in the hobby. And so it's a fun family time, and we love to see families there. And probably you'll get some freebies just because the kids are coming through. We love to see kids running around. So there's a monthly show. It's down on North St. Mary's at the Herman Brothers building, if you're familiar with that area of town. Mm-hmm. That you can go and attend. It's held on Saturdays, and it's usually the middle of the month. You can go to sacollexpo.com for more information about the next event. So sacollexpo.com for the quarterly. And so that's April 30th and May 1st. It's a 2-day show. It's at the Shrine Auditorium. 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. That's where you're going to have probably about 80 plus vendors. And if you've got collectibles that you want to get authenticated, like you've got some autographs, and you're not sure if you know it was Iceman or Duncan or Robinson signing something. You can go get it checked out for autograph authentication. We'll be there through a reputable JSA source. Free parking. There's going to be food there, door prizes, all that great stuff, comics, toys, awesome. Sports cards, Pokemon. Everything. We've got it all.
Man, that's like heaven for me.
Yeah. Jeff, Josh, you need to come join my booth,
I need to go join your booth.
Collectibles. And I want to see the collectibles. You know, we've been talking about it, but I want to see it out there with you.
My collection should be in a museum. That's where it should be. It's out of control. Thanks for the offer too. I appreciate that. You're going to share the booth with me so we both can, you know, meet people and maybe sell some stuff there.
That's part of the fun right there. You know, you'll meet all sorts of people and you hear all sorts of hobby stories, and it's great. It's great. You know, there's one, Jeff, there's one thing that I've missing in my collection. Been trying my hardest to get it is a Spurs Coyote autograph card. I don't have one yet. I would love one. Shake hands with the Coyote, get a rare 101 paw print or autograph.
Yeah.
That would make my day.
You know, he for the first time ever in his history, he quote unquote spoke at the last home game. I put that in quotes because all he did was just use like a voice synthesizer to answer questions like yes, no, maybe like that. And it was like a big to do. So if he's already talking, quote unquote, maybe he'll start writing some autographs for you, Josh. I think your brother is also, you know, he has something else cooking as well. You know,
Hey, thanks, Jeff. My brother's a classically trained chef and has helped out with many of the food options that you see at AT&T Center or the soccer clubs, especially the one up the road in Austin. But his main focus is his tea. He's got an olive leaf tea that's sourced locally. That's healthy for you. So not one of those sugary drinks, but it's called Special Leaf Tea. So shout out to him and Special Leaf. It's great for you. And it tastes great as well. And he can be found in boutique shops and farmers markets around the local community. So feel free to say hello to him and try out a tasty beverage at Special Leaf Tea.
So basically, anybody can just Google Special Leaf Tea and they can find the website. Simple as that.
Yep. Yeah.
Pretty much
there. And he'll deliver for free you can find it around town.
Yeah. Awesome. You know, we cannot thank Josh enough for coming on this episode of Locked On Spurs to give us kind of a crash course in basketball cards, what you'd be looking for, some Spurs player cards that maybe you might have. And he gave you details on how to catch up with him at the card convention that is another one's coming up very, very soon. So if you want more information, make sure to follow him on Twitter at Joshua R. Cook. Trust me, I know what I'm telling you. Ask him a question. Show him a picture of your cards. He will get you the answer right away. He's really, really good about that. And if you have just any other questions, again, at Joshua R. Cook, give him a follow on Twitter. Subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes. The list goes on and on. We have a YouTube now. We made the transition to YouTube. Go check it out. Just go on YouTube and search Locked On Spurs, and there are shows aplenty already. And we thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. The NBA playoffs are here, which means the Locked On NBA teams that are still surviving the tournament, they have their shows going and they're cranking it out. You want to know what's going on with the Celtics, the Bulls, the Mavericks, the Grizzlies, whichever team that's still surviving, make sure to give them a follow and subscribe to them at the Locked On NBA Network. So for Josh Cook, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs. We'll be right back.